welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Well, it's an exciting time of the year to be a tennis fan and a tennis enthusiast. The Australian Open just kicked off last night. I'm recording this on Monday. And it's just great to see some tennis on TV again during the day and now also at night as well. And I'm really looking forward to see how this year pans out for the professionals. A lot of interesting stories going on between Roger seeing if he can get back to his old winning ways again, Nadal seeing if he can kind of outlast his injuries and continue to fight as hard as he has been, and a couple up-and-comers as well, like Andy Murray. We'll see how things shape out. Well, to kind of get some more participation on the website and to get people more fired up about their tennis, I have added something new to the website, and that is a chat. It's a chat room. And last night, myself and several other forum members, including Steve, Charles, John, Mark, and Sean, all of us were chatting last night as we were watching the opening rounds of the Australian Open. And it's just a great time. It's a great new way to connect with other enthusiasts at EssentialTennis.com. All you have to do is go to the forums and sign up for a login name and password, and then click on chat at the top or the bottom of the main page on the forums, and you can enter into the chat as well. I also have a contest that I just started having to do with the Australian Open and the chat room. To enter, all you have to do is log into the chat and send anything, just chat and talk and say something during either the men's or the women's final of the Australian Open. If you do that, I will enter you into a contest. I will randomly choose one winner from everybody who sends a chat during the men's and women's final to win 5 sets of Gamma TNT 2 16-gauge premium synthetic gut. If you send a chat during both finals, the men and the women's final, I will enter you twice into the drawing. So hopefully you get a chance to head on over there, sign up for a username, and I look forward to chatting with you at EssentialTennis.com. Who knows, maybe you can even win 5 free sets of strain. All right, let's get going on today's topic, which is going to be all about doubles. Sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus topic of the week.
All right, let's get started. Today we're going to be talking about doubles. Doubles is an excellent way for you guys to improve your tennis game as a whole. A lot of times, players starting off with their tennis, they're inexperienced and kind of just getting started. A lot of times, players avoid doubles because they're not very comfortable with it. They don't feel like they fit in well close to the net, and the points are much faster pace, and you have to really know what you're doing up there in order to feel comfortable. And oftentimes, beginning players will kind of skip out on doubles, and their net games will suffer. Their net games will not advance as quickly as their baseline games. So let me encourage you guys, don't shy away from it. If you're not comfortable with it right away, find out exactly why you don't feel right at the net. Find out why you don't just feel comfortable in a doubles environment, and get out there and work on that part of your game. It's going to improve your tennis game as a whole a lot more than if you only play singles. If you just play one or the other, you're just not going to be a very well-rounded player. So help yourself make big strides in your game and play some doubles as well. These questions today come to us from Howard, who has submitted questions to me before. He's a great listener. Howard, it's always very good to hear from you. He's a 3.0 player and lives in Edmonton, Canada. And most of his questions today have to do with positioning and how to kind of cover for a partner that's not really pulling their weight on their side of the court. And this is a topic that comes up all the time in and around Howard's level of play, 3.0 to probably right up to around 4.0. anything below 4.0, a lot of times there's a lot of confusion in doubles in those levels, having to do with positioning and exactly how you should try to cover the court between you and your partner. So let's get going. We're going to answer four questions today for Howard, and it's going to take up the whole show, and we're going to talk just about doubles at this level of play, which is basically an average level of tennis play in doubles. So let's get going with his first question. He says, in 3.0 doubles, if your partner can't or won't handle any ground stroke that is hit hard in their general area, where on the court should you move after you have served? Do you A, move toward the service line or further up to the line to parallel with your partner, so essentially serve and volley and move right up to the net with your partner? B, move towards the service line but stay a few feet behind, staggered but kind of around the net? Or C, stay at the baseline and see how well the return of service is going and play it by ear? So stay back and kind of see how good of a return is coming and then kind of go from there. Well, let's talk about that. And this is probably the most common question or the most common thing that comes up in my teaching with this level of player, Howard. You're definitely not alone in this. And also, just let me tell you that you're also not alone with your frustrations with your partner. Oftentimes, again, as I stated at the beginning of this topic, oftentimes at this level, players are not very comfortable at the net. And so they're kind of a liability to their partner if they can get up close to the net and they're not really good at volleys. And you guys will see that most of Howard's questions as we keep going kind of orbit around this topic of, well, my partner can't cover this, so what should I do? Let's go ahead and answer this question. So you've served and your partner is not very comfortable if the ball has been hit well towards them and you want to know what to do. I would not recommend any of the choices that you outlined, actually, Howard, at least not all or nothing, one of those choices just in and of themselves. But let's talk about it. First of all, just understand that one up, one back is the worst position you can play in doubles. And this is by far the most common position that you see being played on a doubles court at around this level of play, is the server or the returner hitting their first shot and staying back close to the baseline and their partner staying up close to the net. This is the worst position in doubles for two main reasons. First of all, it leaves a huge gap between yourself and your partner, and it might seem like it's an effective way to cover the court because one player is covering short balls and the other player is covering deep balls, but it actually just confuses things because what if the ball goes short on the back person's side of the court? Who goes for it? Or if there's a lob on the close person's side of the court, who goes for it? And more times than not, there just ends up being confusion over who covers exactly what. And besides that, you've got that huge space between you and your partner where your opponents can hit between. Secondly, it allows your opponents to play keep away with the net person. If you have a one-up, one-back situation, obviously you're not going to hit two. If you and your partner are playing one-up, one-back, your opponents are obviously not going to hit right to the net person on purpose. If this is your partner, they're not going to hit to them unless they're able to attack. So that means that they're playing keep away with your partner who's up there at the net. They're keeping it away from him and over to you because you don't pose very much of a threat back behind the baseline hitting your ground strokes. However, once they do get an easy shot, like you're talking about, and they have a chance to hit aggressively, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to hit it right at your partner because they don't have much time to react now that they're attacking. So your opponents kind of can have their cake and eat it too. They can play safely to the baseliner whenever they get a tough shot or a neutral shot. And as soon as they get a shot they can attack on, all of a sudden your partner becomes target practice and they start crushing it at him. So this is just not a good way to play doubles. In the situation that you're discussing, the strategy I would play would be this, Howard. Start off the match coming into the net with your partner immediately. So that's, let's see, which option was that? That was option A, move towards the service line all the way up until you're parallel with your partner. I would start off doing that This is your best chance to take over the points and dictate play and actually take it to your opponents and win points. And this is going to be the strategy you want to start each match off with. I wouldn't close into the net based on where he's standing, by the way, but rather by the point situation. And what I mean by that is I wouldn't serve and volley and just say, oh, okay, so my partner is standing here, so I'm going to stand there. That's not the way that you want to figure out exactly where you should be standing. Figure it out based on how easy or difficult of a shot that your opponents have just received. So in other words, if you've just hit a good serve and the return was weak, they've hit a weak return of serve back to you, and your partner has just hit a volley at the net person on their side of the court, at that point in time, you want to get nice and close to the net. You want to get as close as you can past your partner if possible so that you can cut off the next shot and really put it away if it does come back. If, on the other hand, you've just hit a weak serve and the returner is obviously getting set up to just crush it at your partner who's sitting up there at the net, at that point, I wouldn't run all the way up next to them or past them and get close to the net, because more than likely, you want to get ready for a defensive reply from your partner, and you want to be ready for an attacking shot coming up next from your opponents. You don't want to run into trouble, and you don't want to stay back if you have the advantage. And so you should always be trying to build your awareness of who's in control of this point. If you and your partner are leaning and leaning towards controlling the point, and obviously the momentum is going in your favor, you want to get close and you want to dictate and you want to finish. If you're having problems in the point situation and your opponents are about to start to dictate, you don't want to run right into that and kind of kamikaze and just rush into the net. That's not something I would ever suggest to you. However, you want to have an overall strategy of trying to get close to the net. So hopefully that makes sense. And that's why I said it's not really any of the options that you listed. This is kind of something that's in flux. You want to have an overall strategy of getting close to the net, but you don't want to just run blindly in. You have to pay attention to what's going on in the point situation. And we're going to talk more specifically about this as I continue to answer your questions. Now, I know that some of you are sitting and listening to me and saying, well, that's great, Ian. I understand being close to the net is going to give us some advantage and we want to be trying to put the ball away. But what if my partner's volleys are just terrible and we're losing? We're getting close to the net and we're just missing volleys. Maybe me or my partner. Our volleys are just not good enough to actually take advantage of that position close to the net. Well, if you're rushing in with your partner and you're losing the match, and it's obvious that your strategy is not working because maybe your opponents are better and they're continuing to win the points by hitting great passing shots, or maybe either you or your partner is significantly weaker and they're picking on one or the other of you and it's just not working. Well, at that point, I would not suggest, Howard, that you play one up, one back and say, all right, you cover deep shots and I'll cover short shots. If you're getting beat with a close to the net strategy, what you want to do is have both of you go back to the baseline. Obviously, you guys need more time to react to your opponent's shots. You're going to be more comfortable, and one or the other of you is no longer a target to be hit at as you would be in a one up, one back position, which sounds like has been your default position up until now. So I would strongly recommend that if you're getting beat trying to get close to the net, don't hang back and just make your partner even more isolated or you more isolated as a target. But both of you should move back to the baseline, give yourselves some more time, and try to get back into the match again. If you guys get a weak shot or a short shot, or if one of your opponents is staying back and now you've gotten into the point and you have an opportunity now to try to take over the point, then you can both move in together back up to the net and try to take over once again, having started from a two-back position. But don't revert back to one up, one back. That's going to do you guys more of a disservice than you know. It's by far the worst position you can be in your doubles play, even though you see it all the time. OK, Okay, question number two from Howard. In 3.0 doubles, if your partner sort of goes for high balls, and then in parentheses, he says lobs, mini lobs, anything that would require them to jump or move two steps back, but misses completely or decides to not hit the ball, where and how would you line up at the net? In other words, Howard is asking, well, if my partner is getting lobbed a lot, where do I put myself in position on the court? Do I move close to the net? Do I stay kind of staggered back? Well, Howard, there's no magical place on the court where you can just cover everything. There's no depth on the court where you can stand and you can cover volleys, you can cover lobs, you can cover every type of shot, you can cover drop shots, angles. Unfortunately, there's no easy answer. But the truth is, you have to be constantly moving with the ball relative to the point situation. And I was speaking just a second ago about that, about how when you and your partner are starting to control a point, you want to move in, you want to finish. When your opponents are starting to close in and control the point and they're about to attack and try to put the ball away, that's when you don't want to move in. Well, when your opponents have hit a defensive shot and you or your, well, in this specific situation, your partner is moving back, trying to cover this defensive shot, you need to start moving with him back with the ball to try to cover, just in case your partner is not able to make a play on the shot. In this situation specifically, if your partner is getting lobbed, you should move back along with them, at least until you're sure that they're going to get the ball, they're going to be able to hit it at least, you know, they're going to make a play on it, at which point you can go ahead and start moving back into the net again once you're sure that they can make a play on it. If it's never really apparent that they'll be comfortable with the shot, if you're moving back, you know, they're backpedaling, trying to get underneath the ball, and they just don't really look like they're comfortable, and it's possible maybe they're just going to let it go because obviously they don't have a good play at the shot, continue to move back with the ball so that you can take the shot if your partner can't. Now, never ever just stand there and watch and see what's going on. In other words, just plant yourself, let's say, a little behind the service line and say, okay, this is where I'm going to play on my side of the court. This is my spot. And then move for that ball after the fact. You see your partner getting lobbed and you stand there and say, okay, I'm watching. And then the ball bounces. And then you say, oh crap, well, one of us has to get it. And obviously my partner just failed. And then you start running for the ball. It's too late. Instead of that, move back with the ball. And if your partner is not able to make a play for it, you're going to be able to be there because you're already making a move to go cover behind them. If they do make a play on it, then you can go ahead and move right back up to the net or back up to wherever you were a second ago so that you guys can have your strategy again of trying to get back into controlling the point instead of staying back and giving your opponents the opportunity to move in and control themselves. After you've taken the lob for them, if your partner has not been able to make a play on the ball and you correctly moved back, you anticipated maybe this was going to be the case that you were going to have to take it for them. After you've taken the lob for them, move right back into the net again with your partner. Unless you've just put up a really defensive shot that's going to get pounded on by your opponents, move right back in again. Usually you're going to have one player or the other on your opponent's side at this level of doubles. Usually you're going to have one person back towards the baseline, and you can go recover this lob, hit it back to their side of the court, and then get right back into the net again to continue to pressure your opponents. So the two things you don't want to do in this situation are, A, stand in one place and just watch your partner, and then B, reactionary. Meaning you wait and see if they can get it or not, and then make your move. No, that's too late. You need to move with your partner along with the ball. And then secondly, once either your partner or yourself has gotten to that lob and you've successfully put it back in play, move right back into the net again to re-pressure your opponents, unless you've just given them a really easy shot and you're obviously about to get knocked back on your heels. Then, yeah, you don't want to run back into the net when they're about to attack. But hopefully, either you or your partner has placed the ball well enough that you now have the opportunity to move back in and try to dictate the point once again. All right, next question from Howard. Question number three is, in 3.0 doubles, when your partner misses, refuses to go for high balls, what is the best way to turn around and run for the lob / high ball? Where do you run to? And then parentheses, he says, where the first bounce is going to be, where you think the second bounce is going to be, etc. Also, do you run straight at it, to the left, to the right, etc.? All right, so lob recovery. Let's talk about that. So basically, we were in a situation that we were talking about in our last question. Your partner was lobbed. You did your job. You moved back with the ball, and it's going to be a tough shot. It's going all the way over your partner, or maybe they just chose not to go for it, and you're going to have to cover it for them. So what's the best way to handle the actual shot once it's made it over your partner and you've done the correct thing and you've gone for it, and now you're going to have to make a play at this ball? Well, it depends on if you think you can take it out of the air or not, Howard. If you can, do your best to take it out of the air. That's going to be your best shot at staying competitive in the point. If you let it bounce and run all the way back behind the baseline, you're giving your opponents more time to get in and pressure you and get on top of the net to try to finish the point. You're also moving a lot farther away from your opponent's side, so it's putting you in a more and more defensive position the farther back you go. So if at all possible, you should be trying to take any of these types of shots out of the air. That being said, it's not always possible. Sometimes you have to let it bounce because it's just that good of a shot. It's behind you, and you have to kind of catch up with it. Hopefully you're on the run already before the ball bounces. Now let's talk about each of those situations, when the ball bounces and when it doesn't. If you can take it out of the air, you want to position yourself for an overhead, if possible. That's going to be an ideal situation. It's going to be to hustle over to your partner's side, get underneath the ball, and take an overhead on the shot, which you could actually then take that and turn it into a good thing for you and your partner. You can take that shot and be aggressive with it and actually attack. Now, in order to do this, what you want to do is take your dominant side. If you're right-handed, you're going to take your right foot and your right shoulder and immediately take them back and turn to the side so that you're about perpendicular to the net. You want to turn yourself to the side so that when you do get yourself underneath the ball, you're ready to reach up and make an overhead swing, make an overhand swing at the ball, and hopefully attack on the shot. Now, the footwork should be then a side shuffle or a crossover step to move yourself back and underneath the ball. What you don't want to do is stay facing the net and backpedal while staying facing towards your opponents and towards the net, and just move with your heels facing back towards the baseline and your chest facing forwards. That's a terrible position to move in because, first of all, it's dangerous because if you misstep and you trip up, you're going to fall back and whack your head on the court, which I've seen more than once, unfortunately. So it's just not very safe, first of all. And second of all, it's not very fast, and your body is not turned to the side so that when the ball does get to you, you're going to end up just using your arm to hit the ball instead of being able to rotate back forwards towards your target and hit a stronger shot. So get yourself turned to the side, shuffle back, or use a crossover step to move back underneath the ball, and then get yourself set for an overhead and hit a solid overhead back at your opponents. Now, if it's a good enough shot that you can't take it out of the air, you want to get yourself turned and start running back as soon as possible. Get yourself turned so your back is facing the net and get on your horse and get back there quickly. You want to get back there as fast as you can to get yourself in the most comfortable position possible so that you can hopefully hit somewhat of an effective shot. You don't want to just kind of go half speed back there and barely get to the ball, because the more out of position you are in relation to the ball, the weaker of a shot you're going to end up hitting back to your opponents. So you want to turn yourself back towards where the ball is headed, and you want to put yourself back behind where it's going to bounce as early as possible. So if the ball is going to bounce right in the middle of no man's land, or let's say 3 feet from the baseline, if the ball bounces 3 feet from the baseline, you want to put yourself well behind the baseline so that once the ball has gone up to the top of its bounce and has dropped back down again, you want to make contact with this shot at around waist height so that you can hit a comfortable ground stroke or lob back to your opponents. That means you're going to have to start to move immediately once you have identified that this ball is going over your partner and you're going to have to go cover behind them. You want to move immediately back there as quickly as possible to get yourself behind the ball and behind where it's going to bounce so that you can allow it to come up to the top of its bounce, back down again, and then hopefully make contact around waist height where it's comfortable to hit the ball back. To answer your question about moving in a straight line or not, that's going to depend on whether or not you can read where the ball is going right away. If you have a good read on where the ball is going, and by the way, when you turn and start running back for this shot, keep your head turned up over your shoulder so that you can watch the ball, and it's not a surprise where the ball bounces. But if you know pretty much where it's going right away, then yes, go in a straight line and get back there very, very quickly. You don't want to run a zigzag pattern or a curved pattern if you don't have to, because we want to get back there as soon as possible. Time is of the utmost importance. All right, and now question number four, last question here from Howard about his doubles play. If you get to the ball after running backwards and are out of position and out of balance, just what kind of shot should you be trying to make besides the highest lob you can manage from back there? Well, Howard, I think you nailed it right on the head. You don't want to be trying anything more difficult than you have to if you're back behind the baseline and in an uncomfortable position and in a defensive position. If you're back behind the baseline, you're pretty much in a defensive position anyway, as far as doubles is concerned, because you're having to now lift the ball to get it over to your opponent's side. And if they're both at the nets, you're really going to have to hit a heck of a shot to win this point. If one of them is back at the baseline, then it's not quite so bad. You can just aim to that half of the court, and you're pretty much good to go, as long as the person at the net is not looking to cross and is going to go and take it. But if not only are you behind the baseline, but after recovering that lob, you're out of position to boot. You haven't gotten behind where the ball was going to bounce. And you didn't allow the ball to drop down to your waist. You're just in an uncomfortable spot, probably with the ball really high, and it's just a difficult shot. No, don't try anything besides a lob, especially at a 3.0 level. This is just a tough shot, and we do not want to play anything more aggressive than that, because we're going to just end up making too many errors going for that type of shot. I would highly recommend you just go ahead and lob. Now, we can hit a good lob as opposed to a crappy one based on where you actually end up aiming, and you're going to have to be aware of what your opponents are doing in order to do this effectively. If your opponents are one up, one back, then go ahead and lob to the side of the court where the back player is. Keep it away from the net player at all costs if you're about to hit up a defensive shot. Secondly, if they are both up at the net, then aim cross court. Put it up as high as you can, like you said, comfortably, and aim cross court, because that's where you're going to have the most amount of space to hit this shot. And that's going to make it the highest percentage play possible. Now, if you hit a good lob back and you send your opponents scrambling for this type of a shot, head right back into the net again. Don't stand back there and watch them running for your good shot. Move right back into the net and try to finish the point. Good question. Just two more quick points I want to make now before we wrap things up. First of all, Howard started all of his questions by saying, in 3.0 doubles. Well, Howard, these topics don't just pertain to average level players. In 5.0 level doubles, this is very, very important stuff. And it's stuff that obviously lower level players struggle with more, but don't think that this just pertains to you. These point situations do not just pertain to you. So don't feel like because you're asking these questions, you're not a good player, or that you don't understand doubles, you're not playing good doubles. If you're not doing these things correctly, then obviously your level of play will not be as good. But myself included, when I go out and play a doubles match, these are the types of issues that determine a winner and a loser. So don't feel like you're the only person that has to struggle or has questions about these types of situations and the best ways to take care of it. Lastly, what a lot of these types of situations come down to with good level players is communication. You have to be communicating with your partner. If your partner is having a hard time at the net covering lobs or other types of shots, when that ball is up in the air and you're moving back with your partner and yourself, you've got to be talking. You can do it without talking as well, just by watching and moving along with the ball, like I was talking about, and answering your questions, Howard. But it's that much easier if you guys can communicate and let each other know what's going on. I've got it. I don't have it. Switch, telling your partner to switch when you go and cover their side of the courts. You have to be talking constantly during points and after points, between points as well, to continue to work better and better as a team. It's very, very important. Well, Howard, thanks very much for your questions, and this made for a great podcast. I love doubles, and hopefully you guys are more encouraged now with this information to go out and play some more doubles. It'll be good for your tennis game. Okay, that brings this episode of the Essential Tennis Podcast to a close. Thank you very much for joining me today. I appreciate you downloading the file and supporting me and the website by listening to it. If I can ever help you in any way with your tennis game, definitely let me know. You can either email me directly at ian@essentialtennis.com, or you can go to essentialtennis.com and go to contact up on the top of the page, and there's a little form there that you can fill out to send me a comment or a question that I could answer here on the podcast. We'll get watching some tennis. The Australian Open is in full swing. Go watch some tennis. Watch the best in the world play. It's inspiring and it's entertaining. It's just so cool to see people who are that good at our sport compete. Also, go to the chat at essentialtennis.com in the forums. I hope to see you guys there. So until next week, take care and good luck with your tennis.